On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that they got an offensive center, that they got the Brady guy done, that's Bradbury. I'm sorry, that I think that was a must. And I like what Ryan Poles did there, that he jumped out in front and got a guy that's a good, solid player, no question about it, that's got good experience, you know, been around some winning football teams. So I like that probably. That would be the first thing that would jump at me, David.
Score evenings, weeknight 6 till 9.
With Gabe Ramirez, hanging out with you all the way till 9 o'clock. Going to be talking to EJ Snyder at the 8:25 window. But that was Coach Wonstadt talking to the morning show about Garrett Bradbury and the additions this offseason. That one via trade, obviously. Free agency, he's brought in some big names. And as Cassie Carlson mentioned, as we just talked to from Fox 32, there are also some, you know, it's a deep defensive line edge draft. And when you're looking at some of the names, you know, I mentioned it earlier. I said if the first three, four defensive linemen, or excuse me, edge rushers are off the board by time 25 comes, then you really have to weigh what best available looks like. Is it Cassius Howell from Texas A&M that, you know, you want to look at and bring in and develop, as Cassie mentioned? You know, or is it you're looking at another linebacker right there, somebody that can impact winning immediately? Again, it's an interesting puzzle that Ryan Poles has to put together. Not envious of him by any means, but I would think that this offseason is probably a little bit more difficult than any other offseason he's had. First year he's here, it's, you know, cleaning house, moving on from Roquan, moving on from, you know, Puerto Rican Bobby, Robert Quinn, and trying to reset the cap. And then second year was trying to start to add depth to the team. And then, you know, obviously you bring in the new coach. That's just tough. Moving on from Eberflus. Now you get Ben Johnson. So year two, you know you're established on the offensive side. And now on the defensive side, you're looking to make your upgrades. And it's tough. It's tough because you got to worry about cap. That's why you get rid of Tremaine Edmonds. You trade DJ Moore. You know, potentially some more moves to become on that front. But, again, it's a difficult decision. So I'm curious your thoughts, you know, up until this point about the Bears offseason move. So let's go out to the phones. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Aaron out on I-80 out south. What's up, Aaron?
How you doing, man? Look, two things can be true, and you're not crazy. Your eyes are telling you exactly what happened to Washington the year before. You're not wrong in how you feel.
Oh, what a great example, Aaron. What a great example.
You're not wrong in how you feel, but you also got to look at the players that were available. I'm okay with it because I don't want them overpaying for another Montez Sweat. Okay. So what's available and what can you get? Max Crosby was the only home run guy out there. And if he's got an injured knee, I don't want to give up draft capital for.
Okay.
So but I'm kind of conflicted myself because if you can get him for a cheap, how many times does a Max Crosby come available?
And that's just it. I mean, you're proving the point, right? It's like the talent isn't there in terms of free agency in your mind of who you can get to be a difference maker. And that's what I was saying. Sometimes you got to pull the trigger. Sometimes you just have to do it to continue to make your team better.
Thank you, sir. Where you want me to drop it at?
Right in front. Right in front, Aaron. Drop it off right there. Here's some other names, Aaron, while you're doing your thing. Joey Bosa is still out there, 30 years old. You know, could get him for the low. A guy who, you know, might value a deep playoff run over an extra couple million dollars because he's already, you know, secured the bag from the NFL. What do you think about a name like that?
I don't mind Bosa. Again, if you're telling me what are you paying for? You know what I'm saying? Again, he's 30 years old. That's around the time they start breaking down. But, no, I don't have a problem with bringing in a guy. I have a problem with if they're going to overpay for what they bring in.
Heard.
And that's my problem. I have more problems with Ryan Poles than you have, obviously. But the one thing I hate, in my opinion, is he's overpaid. It's one thing to miss. It's another thing to overpay for. You know, it's like taking the wrong. It's like taking the wrong girl to the club. Like, yeah, she's pretty, but everybody's been with her. So
and she got no rhythm.
She has no rhythm. So you know what I'm saying? It's like you can't even go, yeah, I got the baddest one, because yeah, she really is the baddest one
in
all the wrong way. So breath smells like you just kissed somebody from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Or like that guy who called bragging about out of Bayou in his 87 point game, which is still sickening to me.
Yeah.
But with all that being said, we as true Bears fans, born and raised Chicagoans, we have to look at what's out there on the market compared to a home run. I don't see nobody out there worth overpaying for, and Pose has, he's done that. Like, just look at what he signed last year. He overpaid for a guy from Indianapolis who got hurt.
Yeah.
We're stuck on the Montez Sweat contract. He brought in another guy that didn't. I don't even think he played two games, and that guy got hurt. And you spend all this money. The Bears spent money on the defense, but the defense didn't look like it had money spent on it. So if you're giving me average, I would rather, okay, these little moves and then go to the draft and take my shot there than overpay for a guy that's either never was or has been.
No, I get it. And that's definitely the predicament that they're in right now. Appreciate the call, Aaron, and I appreciate the passion also, because you bring up some great points. I mean, when you talk about overpaying for players, as a Chicagoan, you immediately, one, the name that immediately pops up is not even in the NFL, it's basketball, it's Patrick Williams, where, you know, you're giving money to the wrong guy. And that's a mistake that is unforgivable, right? Because that one will keep slapping you in the face every time that person touches the field and lacks productivity. And we see that in Pat Will, who on a roster, like, right? Oh, I shouldn't do this right now. Dollar in the bucket, Adam. You see what I'm saying? Adam Stasinski.
No, it's okay.
Dollar in the bucket. I am inevitably going to go on a rant about the Bulls, and I don't want to.
I think it's okay.
Patrick Williams, I was watching the game yesterday. He got beat, and I am, if there's one person that wishes Patrick Williams could be great and that will always hold out a hope of hope, it is me.
I think we all wanted that.
But when you watch the game, and I'm watching the Golden State or the Kings game the other day, Malik Monk going to town, just eating up the Bulls in the paint. David Hall, now we're talking about this. David Hall was watching the Blackhawks game the night before. We were on TV together Tuesday. He was watching on Monday night, he was watching the Blackhawks. I was watching the Bulls, and we both were looking at each other during a commercial break going, why were we watching these games? Like, I am a sick individual watching the Bulls against the Kings, and he's watching the Blackhawks late at night when he has a morning show to do. But you watch it, Pat Will got beat on so many backdoor cuts, it was embarrassing. Like, it's a backdoor cut, bro. All you got to do is watch the guy in the corner, and he's beating you up. But again, on the team with, you know, Anthony Simons goes down, no Ivy. You know, you saw Colin Sexton down yesterday. Papa, this is the time for you to put up 15, 16 shots. I did a big old segment like a year ago on how Pat Will had only shot over 12 times in a game, like a handful of times, like three or four throughout the course of his career. It's like there's guys putting up 12 three-pointers in a particular game. And now with nobody on the squad, you should have even more of a trigger finger. And it's just unfortunate that that's not the case.
It's been years of this with him.
Dude.
Since he came into the league, he just doesn't want to take the ball and be the guy.
He's a nice guy. This is what happens when you draft a sixth man. That's what he was in college at Florida State. He was a sixth man and couldn't scratch the surface of the starting lineup. And so in his mind, he has that mentality. He doesn't have the sixth man that thinks he should be a starter mentality. He has the sixth man that wants to contribute to the team mentality. And it's just unfortunate because, again, he is a good guy. All right, I need to get off my... Oof, that was dollar in the bucket. Shouldn't have
feel better?
I kind of. I might go back and watch the because then the Bulls go out and be a crappy Golden State Warriors team. No Steph Curry. They got nobody playing yesterday. And then the Bulls are up 13 with like 5 minutes to go, and they let the Golden State Warriors come back. The Bulls are down like 8 with like a minute and a half left. And then Matas Buzelis wants to go crazy and hit a couple threes, three from the, and then send it into overtime and get the victory. No, that's more frustrating than Pat Will. You'd rather them lose a game like that.
The real silly one to me was when they beat the Suns with nobody last. That was absurd.
That's the Suns' fault. for walking out. Watch that.
Oh, no, I worked that game.
Oh, you worked that
game? Yeah, I worked the game, yeah.
Where are the sick ones?
I was paid to be here. At least. Fair. It's not like, trust me, I don't think I would have been watching the game if I wasn't being paid to pay attention.
Dude, I'm watching that game, and I'm like, dude, will the Phoenix Suns just play for real? They just think they're going to walk in and beat the Bulls, not knowing that these guys actually care that are on there. And Billy Donovan's not going to let them slack off. So, yeah, that was another frustrating one. Anyways, let me clean my palate and go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open for you to get your Bears thoughts in. If free agency up to this point ended, would you be okay with what the Bears have done so far? Let's go out to Dave in Wisconsin. Dave, good to talk to you again, man. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hanging in there. Talk to me about my Bears.
Okay, without DJ Moore, do you see a different Bears team? And who is the guy that we picked up from the Seattle Seahawks?
Kobe Bryant,
right?
Yeah, Kobe Bryant was the safety that we picked up from them. I want to ask you the question, right? I'm going to answer it. But DJ Moore leaving the Bears, what position do you think that leaves the wide receiver room and specifically the Bears offense in?
Well, I thought with DJ Moore, I thought he was a good weapon for the Bears, helping us win games. And then we let him go in free agency. How did that happen?
Yeah, it's tough, Dave. And I think when you're talking about the Bears, listen, I was the number one person that was like, you guys are getting it wrong by wanting to trade DJ Moore before the trade happened, right? I love the fact that it was a win-win for everybody. A win for the Bears, get a second-round pick, move on from the dollars. A win for DJ Moore, got the extension, and get to go play with Josh Allen. And then it's a win for the Buffalo Bills because they weren't going to get as good of a wide receiver in the second round as DJ Moore is going to be for them. And when it comes to dollars, I'm sure they'd rather pay DJ Moore than try to figure out the wide receiver room. You have a proven commodity, as Mark Schlereth actually pointed out. My biggest gripe when it comes to DJ Moore leaving the Bears is durability, right? I've said it 100 times. Roma Dunze, and I love the fact that Cassie Carlson pointed out that how disappointed in himself he was at the tail end of last season and how it panned out. But Roma Dunze missed more games last year than DJ Moore missed his entire career with the Bears, spanning 3 years. Think about that. In one season, Roma Dunze missed more games than DJ had his whole time with the Bears. You can't put a price tag on that. What good is a big contract that the guy's not playing? You know, if you're going to compare or complain about Dayo Odengbo, if you're going to complain about, you know, guys getting injured and not playing, Roma Dunze's right there. So the wide receiver room is going to be extremely dependent on Roma Dunze. Luther Burden needs to gain a couple of pounds, get stronger, has to, or else if he's going to get the ball, that caller thought DJ left in free agency. Oh, no, I think he meant during the trade. You're right, though. I didn't catch that. But, you know, Luther Burden's going to have to bulk up because if he's going to be a bigger part of this offense and catch a lot more of these simple passes or the easy stuff, as Mark Schlereth pointed out, he's going to have a lot more targets, a lot more receptions, a lot more bruises, bumps and bruises on that body. So things need to happen to that wide receiver room. But again, the hope is that Ben Johnson takes the team to another level offensively and really just, you know, hides all that, and that Caleb Williams puts themselves in that predicament as well. But let me tell you something. If it's DJ Moore and the Buffalo Bills against the Bears in the Super Bowl, oof, it's going to be Like, think about who you're going to draft first in your fantasy football draft. Just let's start there. Are you going to draft DJ Moore on the Buffalo Bills, or are you going to draft Roma Dunze on the Bears?
See, that's actually a tough question, because DJ on any team he's been on has never been a consistently good fantasy player. I'm not denying he's a great player.
Because of touchdowns.
Well, it's because of touchdowns, and his receptions and big yardage games are kind of like boom or bust. And I'm not saying maybe that'll be different when he's on the Bills, although Joe Brady ran the same guy he had in Carolina. So I think it would actually be closer than you might think if you're taking DJ versus Rome. Now, the difference might be DJ is probably the number one guy in Buffalo, and Rome is going to be the one or the two. You know, maybe three. We don't know. So that, just based on, if I'm drafting based on who I think is going to get more targets, I'm probably taking DJ first.
Yeah. And it's interesting, right? Because all of us that play fantasy football, we know when this decision is going to be made. It's like round four.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? First
your
two
wide
rounds,
receiver two, yes. maybe fringe flex if you drafted wide receiver heavy first.
And could be the guy that wins you the Super Bowl in your fantasy league. You're like, dude, if I get DJ and he has a crazy year, I picked him up in the fourth, fifth round, he's a stud, right? He's like Devonta Smith a couple of years ago. Like, he can win it for you in that event, especially because Josh Allen got to throw it to somebody. Now, Josh Allen, just like Caleb, is known for spreading the ball around, right? He has, but it's because he's never had that. And so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, he wants to throw it to Keon Coleman, but when you got DJ Moore there, it's going to become very apparent quickly that that's going to be that dude.
And Coleman can't get open also.
He's a jump up and get it guy. You're absolutely right. So Romo Odunze, I mean, damn. Think about that. Like, are you picking a Bears wide receiver over a Josh Allen-led offensive DJ Moore? It's going to be tough. And you're going to be thinking about that next year. But those are the tough decisions you have to be made. But a decision that had to be made by the Bears, a savvy one by Ryan Poles, as we talked about, you know, over the next couple of seasons, he's going to have to open up that pocketbook. And if DJ's there, that makes it a little bit more difficult. So I love the fact that it was a win-win for everybody. Will they be better? I hope so, but it's going to be hard to top last season. But again, if you're telling, like, you have to think about what margins can be improved. And if it's simply Caleb Williams, right, if you're telling me that the offense, the weapons will be the same, more or less, and that you can just point to Caleb, then yeah, I'm going to agree with that and say that the offense is going to get better. And I think, and I want to also be very clear, even before he entered his name into the NFL draft, I was a huge Romo Odunze fan. Pac-12 After Dark was my favorite. I was doing a college football show. So for two seasons, Rome, Caleb were on my radar. And anyone that did a show with me during those years would tell you that I also thought that Drake May and the Picks was a better option than Caleb Williams. Not that I don't love Caleb Williams. I love him. He's here now, and he's my guy. But again, I say that to say, Rome was my dude, so I have the utmost confidence that he can, you know, be that guy, and I ultimately hope that he will. But, you know, it's the defensive side of the ball that we are concerned with right now. Since the season ended, it's go out and fix the defensive line. And up until this point, they haven't. And I know that's going to, now it's more likely that it'll happen via the draft. But, you know, best player available might be a left tackle to, you know, beat out Theo Benedict, Braxton Jones, and, you know, whoever else they might, Karan Amagaji, for that matter, into that thing. It's a frustrating, I don't know, I'm actually more frustrated than I'm letting on right now for this Bears team. I know I'm supposed to be happy from the successful last season, but I'm greedy. Every analyst, every person, Kyle Long told me to be greedy. That if the Bears, Mark Grody told me to be greedy. That if the Bears are going to be good, then I want it all. And I do. And so the fact that it hasn't happened up until this point, and I know Cassie told me to slow my roll and pump the brakes, but I can't. I'm a Bears fan. I want it now. I want immediate gratification. Ahora mismo. Yo quiero lo ahora. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm not necessarily getting that stuff, but it remains to be seen. Draft is still there. Cuts are still there. But I think up until this point, he has done, and he being Ryan Poles, he has done a good job of plugging the holes at a high clip, right? Because had it been anything other than what he'd done, then you'd really be concerned. You'd be like, oh, dude, I don't know about these projects, right? You're bringing in a Super Bowl caliber guy in Kobe Bryant. You're bringing in, you know, Devin Bush, the former number 10 overall pick from the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you're bringing in guys that can be that. And the hope, Garrett Bradbury was great. I thought that was great, right? Same free agents class as Drew Dahlman. So you obviously did your homework on him. He is, you know, if you're asking the question, which you should have been, why were the Patriots so quick to move on from him? Well, as mentioned before, he was on a cheap contract. They have really good interior offensive linemen, and they drafted a third rounder from Georgia that plays the center position that they're ready to give the reins to. But again, it points out the fact that a center position is more of the center position that they got, Bradbury, is more of a stopgap. Because what you don't want to do is draft the center and throw him into the mix. You want to give him some grace and allow him to learn, and he'll be able to do that under Bradberry. But I want to talk a little bit more about not only Bradberry, but this free agent class is out there, and what names can still impact winning on the defensive side of the ball. To do that, we get to talk to our next host, EJ Snyder, NFL analyst, going to join us on the other side to talk about what free agents are still out there, not named Max Crosby, that can impact winning for the Chicago Bears. And I'm going to get his take on what the Bears have done so far up to this point. EJ Snyder joins us on the other side. Make sure you're here for it. It's Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you think this comes to be? And do you think they were going to move on from DJ regardless because of how everything's going?
Yeah, there was no secret that his name was bubbling up at the combine. Didn't know where the destination would be. Ends up being Buffalo. I would say this, DJ Moore was a great Chicago Bear, and he was only there for a little bit, but only missed seven games, had that big walk-off touchdown against the Packers. And of course, everyone looks at the miscommunication or the last play of that Rams game and says, well, that's how it ended. That's unfortunate. But they move on from him. And with Drew Dahlman yesterday surprising us with a retirement news, suddenly they have a bunch of cap space.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
With Gabe Ramirez, hanging out with you for a little over another half an hour. Adam Staszynski, executive producing today. And that was Peter Schrager on Pat McAfee, just talking about, you know, the available dollars for the Chicago Bears. Of course, they, you know, spent some of it on Garrett Bradberry and spent a couple more on guys like Kobe Bryant, etc. But there's still a lot of questions to remain. What can they do still in free agency? What names can move the needle, not just bodies to plug in holes? And then what is the rest of the league looking like now that Max Crosby is back on the market? For that, we get to talk to our next guest. Of course, he is the co-host of the Bootleg Football Podcast, the Bears Era Podcast, and one of the best draft and roster construction guys out there. We got EJ Snyder joining the show. EJ, good to talk to you, man.
Gabe, thanks for having me in. I appreciate it.
Of course. Michael Mercado sends his well wishes. He's glad he's there. But yeah, and shout out to him because I know he's listening on a treadmill somewhere. That's the hope. EJ,
sure.
Let's jump right into it, man. Talk about our Chicago Bears. And, you know, this whole show, I've been trying to live in a fictitious world where free agency ends today. And I'm stuck with assessing how the Bears have done so far. If you were tasked with doing the same, what would your opinion be?
I think they've taken a really smart approach to the early part of free agency, which is not throwing huge dollars at one position, filling a lot of holes. And I think that's the best thing they can do in free agency is make sure that they get into the draft in a position where they are short of needs, where most of the needs are filled. Again, if they had to start the season today, do they have players at linebacker, at safety? They didn't when they started. They go out, they sign Kobe Bryant. We can talk about him. I think he's a really good match. They get two linebackers. They get DeMarco Jackson back, and they get Devin Bush. They get Neville Gallimore in the middle of the defensive line. This keeps it from the Bears going into the draft saying, man, if we don't come out of the first round with X, we're sunk. That's the worst possible way to go into the draft, because not only do you know that, all your competition knows that, and they can jump over you for players that you might want at that point. Here, they've eliminated a lot of needs. They've spent, like you said, some money. They have some money remaining, and they're not out of it. They can keep making moves for the rest of free agency. The dollars are going to continue to go down. This is the NFL version of musical chairs. The longer we go through this process, the less dollars are available. So there's going to be some very reasonably priced veterans out there that the Bears can continue to add at corner, at linebacker, at defensive line, that are going to help them out and set them up so that they can let the draft come to them.
Do you think the Bears fans are, you know, like myself included, do you feel like they're reading this offseason properly, or do you think they're still too focused on what the Bears didn't do, right? Because that's where I think I'm at, where, you know, I'm looking at the additions that you mentioned, but, you know, you're looking at it as a positive. I'm looking at it as a necessity, right? They needed to go out. You know, there's no Jaquan, there's no Kevin Byard. So you have to go out and get your safeties. You know, Tremaine Edmonds, you moved on from him, and T.J. Edwards dealing with the fibula issue. You got Noah Sewell dealing with the Achilles. So you had to bring in those bodies. Andrew Billings moves on. You have to bring, you know, so I understand what you're saying. You're shifting the focus and tackling those in free agency so that you're not necessarily burdened with doing it in there. But again, you know, are we looking at the negative space that there is? That what I'm doing incorrectly? Because, or like, why should I be putting a positive spin on that?
Well, I don't think there's an incorrect way to look at it. Everybody's going to have their view about what's the most important thing, what's going to move the needle the most for the team. You said they had to do all those things. They did, but they could have done them poorly, right? They could have gone out and overpaid for Fair. Players that aren't as productive. They could have not gotten the right players. If honestly, a small move like DeMarco Jackson, right? It's 2 years, it's $7.5 million, max value of about $10.5 million. Doesn't look like an important move from the outside, but DeMarco Jackson, for those that watched the Bears on the field last year, played better than Tremaine Edmonds. The defense functioned better when DeMarco Jackson was in there. His speed was better. His ability to read was better. That's a key move. Like, if the Bears don't get him back, they do not have a linebacker familiar with the defense. They're starting from square one, and they might have to overpay for somebody. So, like, these are smart moves. Yes, they had to do them, but so far they've done pretty well. Even the Garrett Bradbury thing, right? They didn't expect the Dahlman retirement. Nobody did. To go out and look at, all right, should we sign Linderbaum? Oh, wait, he's going to reset the entire center market to the tune of like 40% more than the next nearest center. Maybe we should do something that's a little bit more reasonable that will help us function. They go out and get Garrett Bradbury again. He's already got a relationship with Joe Tooney from college. Like, he's worked in a wide zone system before. Like, this is a smart move. They had to, yes, but they also did it in a way that allows them the maximum flexibility.
Talking to EJ Snyder, host of the Bootleg Football Podcast, as well as the Bears Era Podcast. Some great stuff on there. Make sure you guys go ahead and check it out. You were talking about the linebacker position, so I want to circle back on Devin Bush. I think it's, you know, interesting because most people would say that the talent's always been there, right? Had a dip in his career, bounced back last year with Cleveland. When you see the signing of that, you know, obviously I called it a necessity, but, you know, you looking at it through a different lens, do you think he's, you know, has the space for a legit second act, or do you think it's the Bears, you know, hoping that they can just, you know, get some stability at that position?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. And if he didn't have the year he had in Cleveland last year, I think it's probably the former. I'm not sure that he's worth the money. Again, talent has always been there, but we've seen a list as long as your arm of players that have talent enter the NFL and can't maximize that. Bush was teetering on that. He'd had some success, but he'd also had some very down years. And again, finds a situation in Cleveland that not a lot of people are watching, because let's be honest, not a lot of people were watching the Browns down the stretch. Fair. But Devin Bush played some very good football, has always had the mobility, has always had the range, but started to put it together in an impactful way last year. And if he can continue that, now there's no guarantee that that'll happen. But if he can, he showed it's possible at a level that we hadn't necessarily seen before in his career. He's going to be a bargain at 3 years, 30, right? That's if you're looking at the top of like what Devin Lloyd just signed for in Carolina. Like, Devin Bush is significantly below that. So if he can continue to play even at the level that he played at last year in Cleveland, it's going to be a good signing. If he falls off to previous levels, which is also possible, it's not going to look like such a good time.
Yeah, the dollars will be there, though. But I think what the good thing about him is I can't tell you how many times over the last couple of seasons I was like, when was the last time you seen a linebacker get a tackle for a loss? You know, we're so used to that in Chicago, and I felt like Tremaine, you know, TJ's was a great tackler. You know, I love that about him. You saw the drop-off when Noah Sewell and Ruben Hippolyte got in the games. So when TJ came back, you saw the big difference. But I'm talking about, you know, and I hate when we as Bears fans go back to the greats, but I miss seeing Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher blow up a gap and tackle a running back for a 2-3 yard loss consistently, not once in a while. And I think Devin Bush certainly capable of that. EJ, I got to ask you though, you know, I know you're up on all my remaining free agents. And so when you're thinking about the best remaining free agents and those that would be a better fit for the Bears, not necessarily the biggest names, but maybe clean fits the same way a Devin Bush and a DeMarco Jackson might be, Are there names out there that, you know, you have circled in your own personal notebook of players that can be that for the Bears?
Yeah, absolutely. This is one of my favorite times of year when we get into wave two, wave three of free agency, because again, the money evens out and it goes way down in some cases. And veterans who are looking around the league are looking at those chairs disappear and saying, hey, if I want to play this year, I'm probably going to have to take a 1 year prove it deal that is, you know, quote unquote, below my value, and then dip my, you know, have a good year, prove it, as they say, then get back into the free agency pool. And there's a bunch of guys out there. We're just talking about linebackers, so we'll stay there for a minute. Bobby Okereke from the Giants, not yet signed. He is a very solid player at this point. Jermaine Pratt is out there as well. He's also 30. But these guys are going to sign for, you know, less than you'd think, because the longer it goes on, the less dollars are available in the pool. One at cornerback that everybody has kind of drawn a line between, because again, Dennis Allen has familiarity with him, is Marshawn Lattimore. He's 30 years old. He didn't play that well in Washington, but he was also misused a little bit. They played it more off than they needed to. If, you know, Dennis Allen, who had success, brings him back, and again, it's going to be a reasonable deal for a, you know, possible starting outside corner, it's going to insulate the Bears. They've got a lot of good young corners, but, you know, good young corners in production don't always meet. And getting a guy that you have as a veteran, even if he's just a backup at the money you're going to get him for, it's a really valuable move that's sort of, again, down the wave of free agency, second wave signing, third wave signing. People don't pay as much attention. His last stop wasn't great. There's a lot of reasons not to get excited about a signing like that. But down the stretch of the season, especially as we, you know, 17-game season, injuries happen, and having that kind of depth, that veteran depth that understands that you have on your roster for a reasonable amount, can be a really big deal.
And those are the margins that you have to win on, right? In free agency, when you're building out a roster, especially where the Bears are at now, where, you know, they're trying to compete with the best teams in the league, dollars are shored up in certain areas. So now it's, how can you make your team better by getting players, you know, like I said, that fit within the margin. Now I'm curious what that looks like for you on the defensive side, right? Because that's what we're ultimately talking about, where there's dollars, and we know the Bears aren't trying to spend a ton of money, so you're trying to find some value, but guys that can still make, you know, an impact. And you're mentioning, you know, some at the linebacker position. Who is that outside of Max Crosby when it comes to edges? And I'd love your take on Max Crosby and where he might end up as well.
Yeah, for sure. Edges is tough because, again, the top edges are going to go, and they're going to go for big money. We saw that with Jalen Phillips. We even saw it with Bradley Chubb today. Like, he got released. He was, you know, on the quote-unquote on the market for about 2 hours before the Bills threw a wad of cash at him. Mm-hmm. Again, was a possibility coming to the Bears. I don't think I like it that much at that number. Again, when he's healthy, he's been productive. Stop me if you've heard that before with the Bills edge, but there you go. That's their pattern. Jonathan Allen was out there for a little bit. And, you know, there are some guys at edge, but I don't think that many, because as you get down and you look at the production for dollar ratio of the guys that are still available, it's probably better to go to this draft class because it's going to be cheaper and you have a higher upside. Those guys necessarily haven't reached their ceiling. There's a lot of them in this draft. Again, was in Indy a couple weeks ago on the field, and there's a lot of athletic talent in this edge draft. And the Bears are probably looking at that balance of saying, hey, do I pay a veteran just to occupy a spot, or is that an opportunity cost that's going to keep me from being able to play a young edge that I bring in with a high pick? My guess is they're probably going to lean draft at that spot for now. Defensive tackle, a little bit of a different story. I think there's some defensive tackles out there, guys like Kalia Davis, who played for San Francisco last year, on the younger side, not a bigger name, very productive, a little bit like a guy the Bears had before that ended up going to the Super Bowl last year, and Kyrus Tonga, who are effective in run stopping. The Bears could certainly use that, and he's not going to be expensive. Now, you know, when is he going to sign and where is he going to sign? Would he rather return to that Niners defense? Well, they just made a big trade for Oso Odighizuwa. That might limit his time. He might be telling his agent, hey, go look for a spot where I can get some downs on the field. Chicago might be a place for it.
It's so disappointing to hear that, you know, the Bears have to go to the draft to fix their defensive line, right? That they can't shore it up, you know, via free agency, or that someone wouldn't want to give them some sort of discount to play for a team that could potentially, you know, make a deep playoff run. Like, those are the ones that hurt a bit. So you know, circling back to Max Crosby, though, right? I mean, obviously he was on the wish list. He was at the top of the wish list for most Bears fans. The trade with Baltimore falls apart. What do you think that does to his asking price? Because most people would say, oh, you know, the obvious answer is it drops it a little bit. But does it?
Yeah.
But does it?
Yeah, I think it does, because at this point, again, the timing is crucial here. Like, when that deal occurred, there were other teams in the mix willing to pay at the top level. Bears weren't one of them. They were in the discussion, but it's not particularly clear that they ever offered the first two round, the top, you know, two firsts. That just wasn't really in their ballpark. I think they knew that other teams were going to go there and they weren't. And I actually applaud them for that. That, you know, it's a risk. Like, that puts Baltimore on the hot seat for Max to perform at the highest possible level, at a level higher than he's been performing, certainly in the pass rush for the past couple of years. Like, everything has to go right. Now, it might have in Minner's defense, but they end up getting cold feet. They say, nah, they do something else. It does reduce the cost just because that money is not available. The teams that have a pool of cash to be able to pay Max for that contract and throw picks into the mix has gone down, because we're days into free agency and they've made other commitments. We heard the Cowboys say, hey, we've moved on. We went and got Rashawn Gary. We're past that now. So there are teams out of the mix, and his market will be softer. And, like, the Raiders could choose to keep him. Now, I was fascinated that they could fit him and everybody that they signed under the cap that can just barely. It won't be super comfortable. But if that hadn't been the case, if they were not able to fit Max back under the cap with the commitments they'd made in the first couple days of the legal tampering period, we would have had a whole different situation here, because they would have been forced to get under the cap in 24 hours.
Yeah,
that would have been their leverage would have been gone. Right now, if I'm the Bears, I'm absolutely doing my due diligence. I'm calling. I'm saying, hey, what will you accept? My offer would probably start at two second-round picks. Now, I think the Raiders are going to want more than that, and they might say, we're not going to move them for that. And that's fine. And they might meet in the middle. I think the sweet spot probably right now is a first. Again, with the Bears, that's a late first, 25, and possibly a three that could be a conditional two, depending on playing time and some incentives for next year. I think that is a reasonable deal for what you're getting in Max at this point. And I think the Bears could stomach it. Again, they have two twos this year. They would be keeping their first for next year, which I think is going to be really important down the road. I think that's a very good draft class coming next year. And they don't probably want to give up that asset. But, you know, Max would upgrade their run defense immediately. He is the best run defending edge in the NFL. 20 tackles for loss last year as an edge. Wow. That's far and above anybody else. His pass rush is still good. It's not as good as it was 3 or 4 years ago when he was getting 15 sacks, but it's still better than anybody the Bears have. So it would be an upgrade. It'd be a little bit of a harder pill to swallow, but it wouldn't be the two firsts, which I think is okay. And if they can find some middle ground and the Raiders decide, look, because, you know, again, we don't know what's going to happen. Tomorrow, Max could say, that's it. I'm not playing another down for the Raiders, and force their hand. Like, we don't know if that's going to happen, but it could. If that's the case, Chicago could be one of the teams, again, on the phone, stepping in and saying, hey, we'll do it at this level.
Yeah. And the hope there is that, you know, he continue, even though, you know, the pass rush might not be there, that he becomes the multiplier, right? Where you do have a Montez Sweat, a guy that's capable and has been targeted by offenses, you know, because he is the one standout on that defensive line, you know. But when you bring in Max Crosby, it allows everybody to cook a little bit more. And I think that's the hope. All right, EJ, before I get you out of here, you know, Bears won 11 games last year. The over-under sitting at 9.5 with the more difficult schedule. Do you see them hitting 11, over 11, or do you see them falling short of that 9.5 over-under?
Oh, I don't think they'll fall short of the 9.5. So that means 10 or 11 for sure. And I think that if you look at the difference between year one and year two, Ben Johnson, even in Detroit, and you listen to the Detroit players talk about what happened between year one and year two, year one was very much about figuring out the system, about figuring out their roles, about figuring out how they work together. Year two was all of them coming to the table going, I know what I have to do. Where can we maximize? Where can we hurt this defense the most? And that's when you saw the real jump. I think you're going to see a very similar jump, not only for Caleb, also for the offensive line. They're starting with more pieces in place than they certainly had coming into last year. The offensive pieces have a year in that system, and they're going to add throughout the draft. I think it's going to be mostly a defensive draft, but I'd be surprised if there wasn't at least one or two offensive players.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. A lot more time left. EJ, appreciate you hanging out, man. It was great talking to you for the first time.
Hey, Gabe, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Of course, man. Of course. Shout out Adam Staszynski for that one, for finding a gem. EJ, make sure you guys check him out. Bootleg Football Podcast. Bears Era podcast. And as you just heard over the last 20 minutes, EJ certainly is the goods. All right, we got one more break before we get up out of here, wrapping things up on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Down the floor, Spencer, cross-court pass. Warriors have it, drive full court. Santos comes up shooting, 35-footer, no. Ball game over. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win, 130-124 in overtime. Bozelis with 41. Giddey with a triple-double of 21-13-17. Trey Jones with 22. Richards with a double-double of 10-10. And Leonard Miller with a double-double of 17 points, 11 rebounds. Jalen Smith with a double-double of 12-12. What a ball game.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Score evenings, weeknights 6 till 9.
With Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score. Got a couple more minutes, so I figured why not be selfish and talk about the Bulls. No dollar in the bucket needed. Bulls 27-38 on the season, tying the Milwaukee Bucks for the 11th spot in the East. So still 5 games out of that last play-in, so don't worry, Bulls fans. Despite the victory, Bulls far and away from that spot. So there's what, 50, 65? So what's that, 17 games left? Not much. I don't think the Bulls are going to be able to pull that one off. Or let's hope not, for that matter. Let's hope they stay far away from that. It was a game last night that the Bulls shouldn't have won. They're on their West Coast trip. You know, they beat the Suns. They beat the Warriors. No Steph Curry. You know, Draymond Green's knocking down three-pointers. It was just a painful game to watch. Shout out Matas Buzelis, though. I had the chance to hang out with Matas Buzelis at Lyrical Lemonade a couple of months ago. I did a Derrick Rose documentary, Lyrical Lemonade. If you're not familiar, get familiar. They're really dope Chicago brand. And Cole Bennett is one of the guys that runs that thing. And he does a lot of music videos, but he's also in tune with the culture. And they did some stuff with Derrick Rose. And, you know, they asked how they can bring the story to life. And they did a documentary. So I pulled up to Lyrical Lemonade, answered some questions over there. Shout out to the team. And Modest happened to be there. And I'm pulling in, and so funny because they were doing something already. And so I pull up and I'm saying what's up to everybody. There's 4 people in a row. I had a desk. So I'm like, they're like, oh, what's up? And everybody gets up, says what's up to me. And then I get to the last person and I'm not even paying attention. But I'm just saying what's up to people as I enter the room. Modest stands up, 7 feet tall. And you're just like, oh, damn. Modest, it's you, bro. I didn't realize. What's up, man? He's like, hey, what's up? Boom, go back into the room to shoot the questions. And I'm like, does Modest just like hang around? They're like, yeah, he pulls up. Caleb sometimes slides. Like, the guys just kind of show up here and there. And I'm like, damn, that's crazy. They're like, you want to pick? Absolutely. Absolutely, I want to pick with Modest. I'm not too good for that. David Hall made fun of me. Because after I did that, I went to go do the Chicago Lead on CHSN. Myself, David Hall, Rudy Polinsky. And I'm showing David the picture. You know, David's not that kind of guy. You know what I'm saying? So he's just like, oh, how cute, Gabe. You got a picture of Modest. You happy? You giddy? And I'm like, yes, I'm Josh right now. This is great. You can check it out. Chicago_Gabe. Follow me on Instagram right now. Not only so you can see the picture, but so you can stay in tune. So shout out to Modest because yesterday was a big game for him. 41 points. You heard him talk in the post game with Casey Johnson. Was really just, you know, very thankful to God. Shout out to GOD for handling business. But he also did something that was very unique. And it was thanking anyone that had ever helped him on his basketball journey. And I thought that was humbling. He was like, if you ever gave me a ride to a practice, this is him just, you know, recounting his 41 points. If you ever gave me a ride to practice, you ever did anything to help my journey, you know, thank you. I'm very appreciative for you and what you have done. And I wholeheartedly believe that. You know, there's a level of humble to Matas Buzelis. He understands it. And when you play 45 minutes, you shoot 16 for 28 from the field. Shout out that. More of that. Be selfish, Matas. And if you watch the game, majority of the points came in the second half. But he was on it. And Matas is a guy. I mean, listen, when the Bulls were down 8, somebody hit a 3 in his face. He comes down, smacks a 3, and then hits 3 free throws as a result of a foul. So puts up 6 straight points. But there was no quitting him. And for that, you love Modest. So the next game, they play Thursday, 9:30 p.m. against the Lakers. That's tomorrow. Make sure you guys check that out right here on 104.3 The Score. All right, about to get up out of here. Want to thank the executive producer today, Adam Studzinski, for hanging out. I got you. Did a great job today with all of our guests. Of course, want to thank our guests as well. Mark Schlereth, Cassie Carlson, EJ Snyder for hanging out. Next time you will hear me on The Score, Sunday into Monday. Thursday, Friday, 6 p.m. Chicago Lee, myself, David Hall, Ruthie Polinsky. Make sure you catch me there. Then Saturday, Chicago Fire, hosting DC United at Soldier Field. I'll be hosting. And of course, you can always catch the TV show Inside the Fire on Marquee Sports Network. It's a lot of places to catch me. Don't blink, because you might miss it. All right, mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima, that means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this has been Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score.
I love these lazy Saturdays.
It's Wednesday, Homer.
Work!
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.